Father, this morning we just want to thank you, Lord. Above all, thank you for bringing us through the first 9 months of this year, Lord. As we look back, we know, Lord, it was you who brought us through. Only you, Lord. Only you brought us through. If it were not for you, Lord, Jesus, 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 we would haven't come this far. Author and the finisher of our faith, we look to you because you are faithful. And your word says the good work that you have begun in us, you are faithful to complete in us. So it's an act of faith this morning. We surrender ourselves, O Lord, this first day. Be with us. Work in us. Work through us. Go before us through this month. Whatever this month holds, it really doesn't matter. If you are holding us, we know you will take us through, Lord. You will take us through. So this morning I commit the church into thy hands. May your hand rest upon everyone, Lord. Meet them at their point of need, whatever it is. Because you are the all-sufficient God, for whom nothing is too difficult. So we surrender ourselves, Lord, as your children, into thy hands, Father. Speak to us, teach us, Lord, teach us. You have seen the end from the beginning, and it is all written in your book. And you told your apostles 2,000 years ago, see, I have told you all things. Help us to see what you have spoken. And prepare accordingly, O Lord. Commit this time into thy hands. Speak to us. Teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We'll go begin with Revelation 17:1. What who began in Genesis chapter 3. We see its climax and its end in Revelation 17:18 and 19. Then what God began in Genesis 1 and 2, we see its conclusion in Revelation 20, 21 and 22. Between 20 and 21, there's an interim period of 1,000 years, the reign of Jesus. But like we often say, the Bible can be called the history of two cities, of Jerusalem and Babylon. At one point, the earthly Jerusalem will become part of Babylon. But it's a story of two cities, or the story of two women, of which Babylon is called the harlot. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. So Babylon is called the harlot. Well, the church, the true church is called the bride of Christ, the virgin bride of Christ. Like I said, even earthly Jerusalem will become part of Babylon. And the church, outwardly, the apostate church, outwardly and inwardly, ultimately will become part of Babylon. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, because there is a real city, that is, and there is a spiritual city. Remember, there's a real city and a spiritual city, both about Babylon and about Jerusalem. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, so does Mark, my son. So when Peter is writing this, Babylon, the city is in there, but he's calling Rome Babylon. Okay, so there is a city, actual city has Babylon, and then there is the spirit of Babylon, the spiritual one. And then in the same way, there is a city called Jerusalem, and there is a spiritual city, Galatians 5 and verse 26. Oh, 426, not 5, 426. 426. But Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Okay, so please get this. So this battle has been going on for 6,000 years. It's coming to its climax. That's why to the last generation, almost everything is written and emphasized. We are the last generation. We have to be very, very careful because Babylon is going to reach its peak before it will be shattered in 1 hour. 1 hour. All the see, we say in English that to build is difficult, but to destroy is very easy. That 6,000 years of human exploits of building Babylon, the Bible says God will destroy it in 1 year. Sorry, 1 hour, not even 1 year. 1 hour he will destroy it. Okay, so the church and the world system, the difference is made in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. We know we are of God. But the whole world, this entire world system, not the earth, the earth doesn't have a life of its own. It's a physical matter. The whole world system lies under the sway of the wicked one. Okay? The church, when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the physical church. I'm talking about the spiritual church, which only God knows who is real and who is not real. Some we can know is real, but all we cannot know. The church is in this world, but it is not of it. This is where we need to understand, okay? The church cannot escape Babylon. It is asked to come out of Babylon, but it is in this world. It cannot be part of Babylon. And Jesus said this. Go to John chapter 17, and we'll read from verse 9. Okay, Jesus said it very clearly, okay? I pray for them. Okay, even in his prayer, he's very, very clear about how he prays. I pray for them, but I do not pray for the world. So he divides the world, the people, into two categories. Those who are his and those who are not his. He says, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Okay, now he's talking about us, everybody, 2,000 years, the church. I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost except the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. Only one was lost. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Notice the difference. I do not pray you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. We already read in John. Okay, this is John. Later we'll write the whole world lies at the sway of the wicked one. And he says, I'm not praying that you should take them out of the world. I mean, let them die and come up. No, we all have to run our course. We have to finish our purpose. But keep them from the power of the evil one. That's what he taught us also in the Lord's Prayer, no? Deliver us from evil and keep us from the power of the evil one. In verse 60 he says, how we are not of the world. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So everywhere in the church, the comparison, for husbands, love your wives, how just as Christ. Here he says, we are not of the world. How are we not of to be of the world? Just verse 16 says, just as he was not of the world. But remember, he was always in the world. He was right there in the world. But he was not of the world. He was not part of the system. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he says, how do we, it's not in one day we get separated, but it's a constant separation that is taking place inside. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's the word when we hear, when we believe, when we obey. The word is separating us completely from the ways of the world. And he says, and then, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. It's the sanctified ones who are sent into the world, and the world doesn't bother them, doesn't affect them at all. So, both the world and the church in so many ways outwardly is similar. In Revelation 17 and verse 15, this is how the Babylon, the harlot, sits. He said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations and tongues. So it's talking about a people. Babylon is a set that rules over a set of people. Okay, it's spread across the entire globe. And when you come to Revelation 7 and verse 9, so is the church. When you see the 7-9, Revelation 7-9, when you see the church in heaven, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues standing before the throne. So the church is also outwardly like Babylon, spread across the world, nations and tribes and tongues. Okay, so we need to understand that is why this is spiritual and yet physical. How Babylon is built? How is Babylon built? The beginning of the foundation of Babylon, the spiritual foundation of Babylon, you see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And then you come to 1 John chapter 2. God knows, this is what the devil tells Eve, and of course Adam too. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And then verse 6 tells us how Babylon is built. Remember verse 6 again, Babylon is called a woman, and it is the woman to whom the devil comes. It's a woman who partakes of it first. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. This is the spiritual foundation of Babylon. In 1 John 2:15, and then 16, 17 and 18, this is what the Bible says about this Babylonian system that was the spiritual foundation laid. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the three things that happen in Genesis 3:6, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And to us the warning is given, and also the exhortation, encouragement. What is it? Don't worry about the world. It's passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And then immediately in verse 18 is the warning. Little children, it is the last hour. As you have heard, the Antichrist, the big one, is coming. From the beginning, the spirits that oppose Christ has been reigning through men. But the big one is coming, and that's what we see, the Antichrist, to whom Satan, dragon, gives his throne, his power and authority. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So this 18 is a very important chapter. 18 and 19 are very important chapter, because in Revelation 17, you see the religious Babylon. And in chapter 18, you see the commercial, political Babylon, and they're always intertwined, okay? We have to be careful, because the currency, how do we identify? The currency of Babylon is mammon, okay? In Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will loyal to the one and despise the other, for you cannot serve God and mammon. So Jesus makes a distinction over. So you ultimately end up serving God or mammon. On the other hand, the currency of New Jerusalem, the church, is both its faith and love. Okay? Faith that works through love. How do you put it across? How do you put it across is in Matthew 10, verse 38 and 39. Where he says, okay, we know that. He says, if you do not deny, okay, deny yourself, pick up your cross. And he says, if you love your life, you will lose it. I think it's 12. Then he who finds his life, yeah, will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay, now you need to understand why this is important is this. Mammon doesn't necessarily mean money. It's what money does. Mammon means gain. So The Babylonian system is always built on what is gain for me. The kingdom of God is built on loss. Loss now, gain then. Babylon is built on gain now and loss in eternity. So it is an entire commercial system. So the Babylonian mindset, there is no gain in it, it will not get involved in it. It's always looking for gain. And Jesus puts it across, okay? He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Because he says, you cannot serve both. You cannot serve both God and mammon, because the spirit that empowers, these are different. One is always looking. See, this is how an average, any person makes their choices. They make their choice. From the time their eyes open up, the choices are made. Is it gainful for me? Or is it loss for me? Okay. And that is the lie that the devil passed on to man, that if you eat of it, you know what? It is gain for you. You will become like God. You will become like God. So you have now Babylon in its zenith, and she is called a harlot. Please understand. Unbelievers are not part of this. Meaning, they are part of Babylon, but they are not part of Babylon as described in Revelation 17. Because unbelievers are not a harlot. Unbelievers are married to mammon. It's Christians who claim to be married to Christ who plays the harlot. Okay, are you getting the distinction? So everything is written only to the church. God never says anything to the Gentile. You are married to your, that is your prince. You are married to him. But the problem is the apostate church. Like he says, every fall, ethical, moral fall, you can trace it back to the church when it becomes law around the world. When homosexuality, gay marriage was legalized. It didn't happen in any religion. It happened in Christianity, in Christian nations, when abortion was legalized. It did not happen in any Gentile nation. It happened in Christian nations. Okay, so you need to realize when you're talking about this, a difference between a wife and a harlot. Okay, so the Gentile nations are married to Lucifer anyway. They are his, and we are trying to save them from his clutches. But the harlot here is the apostate church. Okay, the apostate church, which pretends to be Christ, but is playing the harlot. So that's what you need to understand. Okay, so in verse 2 of Revelation 17, okay, Revelation 1:17, we see, I will show you the harlot. And with this harlot who sits on many waters, okay, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. So what has happened there is, okay, this is all spiritual. What is it talking? This is the marriage of religion and politics. Okay. Political leaders and religious leaders work together because they benefit from each other in every dispensation. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Okay. In every religion, they work together. On the other hand, if you want to see the real church, when it refuses to mix this both, you see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 onwards. Women received the dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. Why? Because they refused. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had the trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, and of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. What is this? This is those who refused. In the history of the world, and especially 2000 history, whenever Christians refused to become part of the system went after them. So there is always this unholy mixture of the political leaders and the religious leaders, okay? We need to understand our history, okay? In 300 AD, when the Roman emperor became Christian, okay, that is the beginning of Babylonian Christianity. That is the beginning of Babylonian Christianity. When the Roman Empire became, the Roman Emperor became Christian. Okay, so it started in Rome. Judaism had already gone that way. Remember thousands of years back. That, because they wanted to become like the pattern, the Babylonian pattern. So what did God do? He exiled them to Babylon. So you want to be like them? You go to Babylon. And the remnant that came out of Babylon, many of them, that spirit was broken. We need to understand, when John wrote the book of Revelation, it was written 200 years before Constantine became the emperor. Okay? Before Constantine, before the emperor. Because it's prophetic. Because if you look at verse 9 and 18, then we will understand why it is Rome, why it is coming from, how the Babylonian Christianity begins. In verse 9, not Hebrews, sorry, Revelation 17, 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. In verse 18, okay. The woman you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Okay. Now this seven comes over. Okay. Now we know the city. Okay. We have one here also. And remember, it has a huge prominence in our country with religion and the kings who rule over this nation. Okay. We have another city here with seven mountains. But the city on which seven mountains is Rome. Okay. Rome is a city. It's called the city of the seven hills or the seven mountains. And this woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings. She influences the kings of the earth. Okay. Now, understand this. Never misunderstand always the people and the system. Okay, like you have, like the simple case for us before is, you have the Iranian system and the people. You have the Chinese administration and the people. Not all the people. There's always a set of people who is part of that administration. And then there are the victims. So there's the Communist Party and the People's Liberation Army in China, the system, and the people who live like slaves under them. So everywhere you have. So don't misunderstand that. So don't misunderstand the Catholic Church, the system, and the Catholic people. Okay? Don't misunderstand the between the two, because many of the Catholics, or most of them, are blinded. And they are ignorant and they have no clue what's happening within and in their own lives. Okay? And I'm speaking to you as an ex-Catholic. I had no clue what was happening in the church. Okay? And for thousands of years, okay, literally 1700 years, what we have seen is the influence of the Catholic Church, is the entire political spectrum of the whole world. Whole world. I'll tell you, any religious Christian leader from big name, from the Protestant circle, who preaches the gospel, if he tries to come to India, he will not be given a visa. But if the Pope comes, he'll be received at the airport by the Prime Minister and the President herself. But you need to understand the influence of that city, the church that has dominated literally human history for thousands of years, okay? From Pope Leo IX in the year 1054 to Pope VI in 1965, okay? They had that three-tiered crown, and the middle it was written, I don't know how to pronounce Latin, okay? Vicarius Filii Dei. That means he is the vice regent of the Son of God on earth. That he has authority in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth. That's why their crown alone has three tiers. Then of course when democracy caught in and all, they toned it all down. Okay. And the literal coronation of the Pope takes place in St. Peter's Cathedral. Okay. So you need to look at the humble beginnings of our King, and, okay. And when the Pope is crowned, okay, he's crowned with the words, okay, receive the tiara adorned with three crowns and know that you are the father of princes and kings. I will read the excerpts later. Ruler of the world, vicar of our Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, that's how he is crowned. Okay. On the other hand, look at Matthew 21:5. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay. The Protestant, if you turn with me further down, I think it's words, Babylon, the mystery Babylon, I think it's Revelation 17:5. Okay. Yeah? Yeah. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great. And not only that, she is the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. So practically all the churches, one way or other, are her offshoots. One way or other are the offshoots. So some of them detached completely and allowed the Spirit of God to sanctify them further and further and further. Some of them became part of the harlotry, like you look at the Anglican Church now. Okay, that's the one that broke away from the Catholic Church. But it has practically taken the form of the Catholic Church without Mary and the saints. But they have their head, who is the Archbishop of Canterbury, who crowns the King of England. And they are the ones who are now full-blown going with gay marriage and all the other stuff. Okay, all of them with that stuff, because you know, the harlotry goes that way. Okay, and their influence upon everyone, that's what it says, you know, all the people of the earth are influenced. When did our courts start making adjustments is because they are listening to the rulings that came in from the West. And they're following it. So we have no idea how much the influence the church plays upon the politics. And then the politics of the West plays upon the Gentile nations. Okay? Like Thailand, I think, became the latest country last month to legalize same-sex marriage. Okay? Now that's a Buddhist country. Okay? So they all fall under the pressure. Okay? Why these things are important? Because these things are an abomination, because of which God says, judgment is coming. Because in all nations we will see this mix, the political and the religious. Okay? Because that was what was told by Satan. What is that? You will become like God. You will become like God. So you will realize that Rome, that wanted to be democratic and overthrew their kings, and they became democratics, and they had senators and they had councils, and to see that no council would take over, they always had two councils, and ultimately one council is killed, the other council, and Caesar takes over, and Caesar becomes emperor, and Caesar becomes God. You always see that until monarchy was thrown away in Nepal, King Birendra was God, considered by the Nepalese to be an avatar of Vishnu, and his pictures were worshipped in all the Hindu homes in Nepal. So this has been going on for thousands of years. Ultimately, politics and religion gets together and their leader is deified as God. So this is how Babylon works. And if you want to look at where does it, the roots of it, it is what Satan told woman. Because that is what he wants to be. He wants to be the leader and he wants to be worshipped as God. So he will put, that is why worship is a huge thing. Worship is not a small thing. And Jesus says, him alone you shall worship and serve. Because these things go together. You cannot worship one thing and serve another. It's not possible. That's why God says you cannot serve both God and mammon. Okay, he says, what you worship, you will always serve. It is always so. That's why he talks about, no, he tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, don't be anxious. The reason is, worry is a form of worship. And let me ask most people, 99% of the people in this world, if it is not a sickness, their worry is about money. Right? Worry is about, if I had more money, God says, you know, it's a form of worship. Yes, you need money. But he says, cast all your burdens onto me and worship me and serve alone. I will meet. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Worry, fear, anxiety is a diabolical form of worship. Because worship is what occupies your mind and ultimately you start serving it. So without even realizing, you are now working hard extra time over time to make more money. Okay. So this is how Babylon is built. Babylon is built on worship because devil wants us to worship him. And that's what he's offering Jesus. You bow down and worship me. I'll give you all this. And Jesus says, get thee behind me. Get away, Satan. Okay. So you need to realize everywhere, in every religion, okay, ultimately that will happen. The leader and the religious figure becomes. Even communism, in communism, okay, let me ask you this question. Communism is a state ideology. But if it is, everybody is equal in communism, is it, how is Kim Jong-sung worshipped in Korea? How is she worshipped in China? How does a leader hold so much power if everything is, socialism is there? Because it simply won't work. Once you ate the lie from the devil, no system will work. Every system, the same thing happens. And God says, you know what, church, come out of it. Don't be part of it. Okay? So, if you look at Babylon in chapter 18, chapter 18 and verse B, chapter 18, I'll give you that verse. Okay. How Babylon is built. Okay, I'll give you that. The last portion of it. Revelation 18. 18. Not 23. 13. 13 last portion, okay? All how it was, okay? And look at the last one. What is how Babylon is built? By the bodies and the souls of men. That's how it built. That's how. It's like a pyramid. It's like a pyramid, okay? At the top is one small set of people. And all down are serving. Jesus came and said, the kingdom of God is the other way around. The burden, the pressure is taken by the people who are at the top. That was the last lesson Jesus gave. He took his robe off, tied a towel, and he washed his feet. He says, if I am your Lord, your master did this, learn. Otherwise, you will go the Babylonian way. In the Babylonian way, that's why we are always called, even in the home, husbands, lay down your life for your wives. I mean, he says, it's an entire servanthood principle. Otherwise, what will happen? Even in your own house, you will build Babylon and not Jerusalem. You will build Babylon. Babylon is where a whole set of people exist to serve somebody else. And he's at the peak. And he is worshipped. Worshipped. Okay. And God says, be very, very careful about the spirit of Babylon should never enter into your home, into your hearts, into the church. Because the church is different. It is Jerusalem. Okay, so everywhere you will see that idolatry. And Babylon in its so many variants, whatever religion, whatever ideology, ultimately it is the bride of Satan, of the Antichrist. Okay, well, New Jerusalem, the true church is the bride of Jesus Christ. And Babylon is built on the bodies and the souls of men. Well, Jerusalem is built on the lives of people who lay down for Christ and for. So Jesus says to those who are building Babylon, so Jerusalem, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you and laid down my life for you. That's how Jerusalem is built. Well, Babylon is built exactly the opposite way. It's also built on lives, but it is built on lives of others. lives of others. Okay, remember in this election, our leader also suddenly tried to put in saying that he was an avatar. He tried to say that. He put it across. That's why the joke about him in the parliament and all, that he's not of normal birth. He said he was an avatar. He was trying to bring that in, hoping that, no, this country will also, a large portion of this country accepts that. Idolatry is very easy here. Very easy here. It's not a very difficult thing at all. So you need to realize, Babylon is all outward. It's all outward. Okay? So, that is why Jesus called the Pharisees of that time. He says, you whitewash tombs. Whitewash tombs. It's all outward. The pomp and the glory and everything is outward. But inside there is nothing. Jerusalem is the other ways. Outside looks very simple, nothing. But inward it is glorious. Okay, so the Bible, when you look at Jesus, say there was nothing in whom that we could desire. Yet on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus showed three of his disciples his inside glory. So God saying is that this is the truth about the church. Who the church is will be revealed only on that day. Okay, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed. That should be the truth. Outward man. Okay, doesn't matter whatever you do, the outward man is perishing. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Okay, this is the day the sun, the whole of creation is this thing. Babylon is all outward. And 1 hour it will be gone. Okay, and God says, don't get caught in this trap. So if you go to Revelation 17, 2 and 3, you will see this is Babylon. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. Idolatry will make you drunk. Drunk. Okay, that's what a mixer of politics and religion. You see idolatry, deification of leaders. And then, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Okay, see, when he shows the bride, remember in Revelation 21, when he shows the bride, he doesn't go to the wilderness. On the other hand, he takes to a very high mountain and shows the bride of Jesus Christ in all her glory. She had the glory of God. The hidden has become revealed. Here, she's sitting in this world all glorious, but in God's eyes, this world is a wilderness. Okay, and she was sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. What are those 7 heads? Okay, the 7 heads we saw is that city. It is that city. Okay, now about that city. I'm going to read you from scholars who have worked. Okay, Alexander Hislop is one of the people. Well, one of the standard texts. You can find this PDF on Google. Okay, but let me tell you, it's a very hard reading. Okay, this is a person who has worked on Mystery Babylon. Okay, so this is not his, but except some are his, some are not his. Okay, but I'm just quoting scholars who worked on. Okay, so you need to understand, we saw the 7. Okay, verse 18, verse 9 and verse 18. We saw right here, Revelation 7, 9, if I'm right. Yeah, no, not 9. Not Revelation 17, not 7. You're in 7. Okay. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And then verse 18 we saw, the woman whom you saw is the great city that reigns over the kings of the earth. Now listen carefully, okay, so you will understand. This is from people who have worked on it. So the location is Rome. Okay, and this man is to be Peter, because you need legitimacy. Said Leo I, the leader of the church in the middle of the 5th century, from the whole world, a single man, Peter, is chosen and appointed to rank before all Gentiles and all apostles, all fathers of the church. It is expressly Peter who is to govern all whom Christ governs in the first place. That they will, that's why they will assign Peter as it. Because you need always legitimacy. If you don't have legitimacy, you have to assign it to somebody. You know? And they will go back and saying, Jesus said this to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. But the rock was Christ and not Peter. Of his confession of what he said. But they took it and turned it around and said, Peter is the first pope. Now if you look at poor Peter, the way he was and the way he died. Okay. And the fact that the Peter was also married. Okay. And then, thus the headship of the new church is to be given to a man. How the church can ignore the plain teachings on the body of Christ given by the apostles can only be explained in terms of Satan's slowly confusing, blinding ways. Okay? So, introduction is there. The place is Rome. The man Peter. And the worship is decidedly, decisively, very clearly Babylonian. Okay? Even back in the 2nd century, Tertullian of Carthage had noted how much more faithful are the heathen to their religion who take special care to adopt no solemnity from the Christians. Not so the Christians. They begin to adapt quite nicely to their surroundings. Meeting pagans halfway becomes the in thing. And Hislop says in, the paganism which Rome, when you're talking about Rome, which you're talking about the Catholic Church, okay, has baptized is in all its essential elements the very paganism which prevailed in ancient literal Babylon. As early as the Council of Nicaea, like how Mary comes in, the question of Mary, why a certain Egyptian Christians is being introduced, her titles, her prerogatives are suggested. But many of the questions remain unanswered at that early time. Yet today they are not totally dealt with. Babylonianism in the church unquestions. Now listen to this. One of these Mary ideas is that perhaps the Holy Trinity ought to consist of the Father, the Messiah, and the Virgin Mary. Okay, that's blasphemy. But there is logic to it. The Assyrian practice was to include the goddesses of the air or spirit as part of their trinity. This is carried over to the Christian world by considering Mary as the same object of reverence. The air, the spirit, Mary, all the same. That is why in the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church, where wisdom is used, a feminine gender has Sophia. No? Sophia, that's how Pastor Vijay named his third child, has Sophie, which means wisdom. They have called Mary as Sophia. Okay? Most Catholics do not even know their doctrine. Please, that's why they are innocent and ignorant. Okay, ignorant. But in the early church, the question was asked. Okay, the cult of Mary will survive on another equally blasphemous idea. She will be called like Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven. She will be praised as the house consecrated by God. Men will say she is the dwelling place, the mansion of God, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Trinity, in which men may safely come near to God and become man. Media tricks of the simple young lady called Mary, they will say, the Lord himself created her in the Holy Ghost and poured her out among all his works. In art, she will be portrayed with a circle of light above her head as her goddesses of Babylonian origin. The blue-eyed, golden-haired Madonnas of Babylon will be transformed in one with Mid-Eastern complexion. The Babylonian system has been fond of making a list of anathemas or curses. Okay? Anathema means curses. In keeping with its character, it has also killed, that is, delivered to the secular arm its precise wording. The killing is done by the secular side. Those who dare to defy her authority. Remember, the same pattern the Catholic Church implemented. When they had that midnight court for Jesus Christ, they passed the death sentence. But they cannot kill him because they don't have the authority. So they took him to Pilate. Okay. The Catholic Church doesn't have the physical authority to kill them, but they pass the sentence and pass it on to the ruler. And the ruler will do the killing. And the entire Roman world of the century, the European nations, all of them, the kings were crowned by the Pope. So the Pope had enormous power over these people. The Church had enormous power over these peoples. And if you look at the dates, few of the teachings and the practices that have come from Rome, and the approximate date they began to be taught officially. All dates are in AD, okay? Prayers for the dead, 310 AD. Sign of the cross, 320 AD. The worship of angels and dead saints, 375 AD. The daily mass, 394 AD. Remember that they don't call their worship service. Their worship service is called a mass. A mass means sacrifice. Sacrifice. It is a mass. It is through the mass you have salvation. Where that's why for them, the bread they ate and the communion that they take literally becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ inside you. Your salvation is not by believing in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but believing in what the priest is doing. And till recently, the cup, only the priest had it. And everybody drank from the same cup. If you were in the Catholic Church, there was only one cup. Everybody drank from the cup. The cup of abominations which has made the nations drunk. The pictures were there all clear, but people could never see it. Okay, until people came out, okay? So, the daily mass came in 394. The worship of Mary through the term Mother of God in 431 AD. Priests clothed differently from the laity, that is 500 AD. The concept of word purgatory. Yesterday we were joking about purgatory, no? You purgatory or how you pronounce it. Purgatory, okay. It's Dante's fiction, inferno, Dante's fiction, okay. It's a French word, it's not an English word, okay. Purgatory means actually when you die, you don't go to heaven. You go to another place, a mid place, like a halfway house. It's there, okay? Where you burn and all the impurities taken away, and then you go to heaven sometime later. But purgatory is a cleansing place. So it doesn't matter if you keep on sinning, it doesn't matter because you're not going there straight away. There's a place called purgatory, okay? And it is nowhere in the Bible. It was written by Dante, and the church adopted it also, okay? And then, Latin as a standard language in the church was in 600 AD. Because remember, Latin nobody spoke except the clergy. So, see, this is how the gospel is very simple. So the first breaking of this happened. That's why they were so against the printing of the Bible, and the laity should never have the Bible in their hands. Because if you read your Bible in your own language, you'll start at it. What is written? What is happening? It's got nothing to do with it. Okay, so there were centuries where if you were caught with the Bible, a Christian was caught with the Bible, he was executed. Because he couldn't have. And Latin, so this mysticism, that is why she is called Mystery Babylon. The gospel is very simple. But all religions want mysticism. Every religion has mysticism, okay? And that was brought over there. Okay? Latin as a standard language in the church, 600 AD. Kissing of the Pope's feet, 709 AD. Temporal power of the Pope, 750 AD. Worship of the cross, images, relics, 788 AD. Holy water. You do not know this is what all we did. If you enter into a Catholic church, you have a small little thing everywhere, pillar, and we will always put our hand in, and this is what we did. We had no clue what these things were, but this is what we all did. Okay, holy water. Veneration, okay, of St. Joseph, 890 AD. Baptism of bells, 965 AD. Canonization of dead saints, 995 AD. Fasting on Fridays and during Lent, 998 AD. See, if you read the entire Bible, there's nothing there. So that's why I said nothing was celebrated in the New Covenant Church. Nothing of God knew, because it is of by the Spirit of faith, so you don't need any of these props, okay. Inquisition of the heretics, okay, they were burned at the stake, 1184. Sale of indulgence, that's one of the words when the Catholic Church need money, the kings needed money to fight wars, so they said, okay, that's a very good way to make money. You can buy pardon for the sins you're planning to commit tomorrow, today, just pay for it. So priests went all around Europe and everywhere selling, and it brought in revenue to the church. I mean, if it is true, it is an awesome thing, right? Whatever you want to do tomorrow, buy pardon today. Okay. You know, that's what happens in Gentile places where they put gold bars and sacks full of money over there. It is to ease their guilt. I did this thing. Now you take this and ease my conscience. Okay, so it was all brought in. Confession of sins to the priest, okay, at least once a year was how it started, 12:15. Adoration of the wafer, that is the communion, this thing, no? Bible forbidden to the layman, 12:29. Okay, cup forbidden to the laity, 14:14. Apocryphal books, you know, by the Catholic Bible has extra books, Apocrypha it's called. They were added in 1546. Okay. Immaculate Conception of Mary. They had this issue. How do you, because the problem is they don't understand how iniquity is a spiritual thing passed down from father. That's why it doesn't say through one man's disobedience. It doesn't say one woman's disobedience. It says one man's disobedience. Okay. They don't understand. But the problem is that if Jesus is holy, okay, and then if Mary is not holy, he must be tainted with. So they, what did they did? They made Mary also holy, that when she was conceived without sin. That is the doctrine of Immaculate Conception. It is not about Jesus, it's about Mary. Okay, these are all doctrines that came in. You need to understand how the Babylonian system came. Papal infallibility came in 1870, meaning he speaks ex cathedra, that even if he's wrong, he's right, because he cannot be wrong. Like Christ, like we say, the word of God is inerrant. Every word that Christ speaks is true. They gave that same thing to the Pope. Okay. Assumption of Mary into heaven came only 1950. That she was bodily taken away, like Jesus ascended, she also. Okay. Now they used this word called veneration, by the way. It's a very clever Roman Catholic way to disguise the fact the worship of idols actually takes place in the Roman church. People are told, we don't really worship, we venerate. Everyone's closest friend at times like this shows that, okay, even Webster shows that the word venerate is derived from the Latin venerare, the first meaning of which is to worship. Okay. So these are areas in which church put on the ways of Babylon and slowly became the lady spoken of by John. Okay. Then he says you can go through the ecumenical councils of the Roman church, read it, and you can see how they evolved. Okay. Then, but for us living in this day, comparing our New Testament with the monstrosity headquartered in Rome, can there be any serious doubt about who she is? Modern Babylon claims to have descended from ancient days in an unbroken chain of succession, with which we must agree. But we cannot trace his succession back to Apostle Peter. It is obvious the connection of Babylon starting in Genesis 3 through Nimrod down came to Caesar. And from Caesar, the Roman Catholic Church begins. The connection is that. It is not Peter, it is Caesar. When Caesar became emperor is when the Catholic Church begins. Okay, so we cannot trace this succession back to Apostle Peter. It is obvious that the lineage links up with Caesar's in the 4th and the 5th centuries, from there back to the Tower of Babel or even the Garden of Eden. Okay. The popes of Rome were the heirs. This is studies, okay, where the heirs and the successors of the Caesars of Rome. The popes have claimed all the authority that Caesar claims. You need to understand who were the kings of Rome. They were called the Caesars. So why do they call the church a Roman Catholic Church? Why do they call it a Roman Catholic Church? Because Rome was the seat of Caesars. Okay. The papal palace throughout the centuries, the papal palace, okay, the papal palace where the Pope stays, centuries, has been the most luxurious in all the world. Popes have lived in pomp and splendor unsurpassed by any earthly kings. In no place on earth is there more ostentatious pageantry and show of magnificence than at the coronation of a pope. The city of Rome, the first pagan, then papal, has been the dominating power of the world for over 1600 years. Okay, now I'll give you one excerpt of something that took place. Okay. It's now the holy year 1950. Okay, 1950. Pope Pius is on the throne, taking the worship of all his subjects. Every major celebration was to be systematically organized to demonstrate the homage of Catholics to Pope Pius XII. This is 1950, less than 100 years back, okay? His every appearance in a gorgeous processional was a signal for the wild cheers of adulations. Thousands of pilgrims, thousands of pilgrims knelt in reverence before his visual figure. He was born into the middle, carried into the middle of every celebration, seated on his portable throne. Let me ask you, last month, where did the current Pope go? One of those islands. He went on an East Asia tour. Half the island turned up and he was carried on his portable throne. Half the entire population of the island turned. It was literally mass worship, adulation of a man. Okay? And then he talks about such a celebration, wherewith me as I share a lengthy portion of history of one, a saint is being canonized. These are all Catholic invention. Okay? This is how it is written from history. The drums were heard beating without, outside. The guns of the soldiers rung on the stone pavement of the house of God. How unlikely the suitable preparation to receive a minister of the meek and lowly Jesus. Okay. Now moving slowly between two armed lines of soldiers appeared a long procession of priests. Okay. Bishops, canons and cardinals preceding the Roman pontiff, that's the Pope, who was borne on an intricate chair, clad in vestments resplendent as the sun. His bearers were 12 men clad in crimson or purple, being immediately preceded by several persons carrying a cross, his crown, his triple crown and other insignia of his office, along on the shoulders of men amid the gasping crowds. His head was shaded or canopied by two immense fans made of peacock's feathers, which were borne by two attendants. He tells of the first saint he saw canonized, officially placed on the Roman roll of sainthood. Okay? Canonizing is the ceremony of magnificent solemnity in the Basilica of St. Peter's, as for many centuries been designed for this purpose. It's a very ancient custom to decorate the basilica with great splendor on such occasions. Banners, candelabra, Latin inscription, huge paintings depicting the approved miracles, finally the picture of the new saint in front of the altar of the chair of Saint Peter. The papal throne is erected on an elevated platform alongside and arranged the stalls for the cardinals, the patriarchs, the archbishops, bishops, prelates, dignitaries who take part in the papal function in front of the papal altar, which is embroidered in gold. On the facade of the basilica are placed inscription and a large canvas representing the new saint in glory. The cardinals all wear white damask crowns and the train bearers are vested in the crochet and cotta and wimpa. The pontifical jeweler who has charge of the Pope's tiaras. Okay, I told you, it's a three-tiered crown only the Pope wears, showing his authority in heaven, earth and below the earth. And he wears, the jeweler who has charge of the Pope's tiaras and mitres wears a silk cloak and a sword. Two extra papal tiaras are carried in the procession in addition to the one on the Pope's head. The Pope wearing the mitre sits and receives from the cardinal procurator two large painted candles. The canopy is spread over the Pope's head. Behind his seat, the large fans are carried, then forms the Pope's guard of honor. The noble and Swiss guards, clad in full ceremonial custom, bring up the rear of the magnificent procession, which takes about 30 minutes to pass. On arriving at the doors of the basilica, the Pope is received by the chapter of St. Peter's while the choir sings Latin Tue Petros, meaning you are Peter. When the Pope has entered the basilica, the triumphal march is played on the silver trumpets. Immediately the ceremony of the obediences commences. The cardinals approach and kiss the Pope's hand. The patriarchs, archbishops, bishops kiss the cross of the stole placed on the knees of His Holiness, while abbot generals and the penitentiaries kiss his foot. Arrived at the foot of the throne, the advocate procurator kneels and addresses the following words to the Pope: Most Holy Father, The most reverend cardinal here present earnestly begs your holiness to inscribe Blessed Maria, that is the name of that saint, and to ordain she be venerated as a saint by all the Christian faithful. And the prelate replies in Latin, the Holy Father is very much edified by the virtues of the blessed and the miracles. Okay, and then he grants her sainthood. In honor of the proclamation, in honor of the holy and indivisible Trinity, for the exaltation of the Catholic faith, and for the increase of the Catholic Christian religion, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and the holy apostles Peter and Paul, and by our own, after mature deliberation, he says, I declare, more Pope kissing, Latin singing, bell ringing, and another saint is in heaven. It is scarcely necessary to point that out of this ritual of display has nothing more to do with original Christianity, has to do with original socialism. There is not only no support in Christian tradition for such a use of Christianity, but all the weight of original Christian testimony is against such proceedings. In fact, it would be difficult in all of history any person whose life record and personal habits conflicted more openly with the life of Jesus of Nazareth. So let us look at Jesus. The most spectacular thing he ever did was on this planet was to sit on a donkey and ride into the town. He is God, God the Son, Son of God. So who is this foul pretender to the throne of God? An antichrist, a false prophet, a deceiver of men. Popes have been told at their coronation, thou art father of princes and kings, ruler of the world, vicar of Christ. I say blasphemy, because I cannot think of a stronger word at this fit to print. So that is how Babylon, okay, this is how Babylon is built. So, in 1950, the Church of Rome is told by the Pope that it's now a matter of faith that they believe Mary was taken up by body and soul into heaven. Question, where is this new revelation? We are often given the explanation, the piety of the people. That is, the people believe this story and then it becomes the doctrine. That is why in the book of Revelation, when it ends, God says, don't add to the book. Don't add to the book. So you will see the actual woman who sits on, ultimately will be the Roman Catholic Church. It will be the apostate church. And no, it will become, it has all the trappings of it. And they really, really have no clue how much the church controls the affairs. Or even in India. Even in India. Let me ask you a simple guess. City of Hyderabad. City of Hyderabad, our city, right? Hyderabad. What do you think is the revenue of the Catholic Church in Hyderabad a year? Anywhere between 300 to 500 crores from the schools and colleges alone. It's the revenue of the church. The revenue of the Catholic Church in the Mumbai Diocese, they say, is more than Mumbai Municipal Corporation. It's over 5,000 crores. And you cannot touch it. You cannot touch it. Governments cannot touch it by law. You need to understand the power they wield. The power they wield. Mammon. Yet when the Son, that's why we have to remember when Peter, the same Peter they talk about, when he stepped out, the first thing he said is, silver and gold we do not have. So you, this is what you need to, that's why Jesus said this Babylonian system is so very subtle and it is all about outward show, because you know what? The outward thing grips your sight. That's why everything has been marred. Our when man fell, what he loses first is ability to see. Ability to see. That's what he lost. We lost our ability to see. So this outward grips us. We are not able to see the inward, and the inward doesn't make any difference. Only the outward matters. Outward matters in this world. And idolatry actually is at its highest. Now the church has toned down because of the spread of democracy and people's rights, and also they just toned it down. In the last 100 years only they toned down. That inscription also they don't show anymore. Vicarius Filii. It's written in Latin. If it has a meaning, he's the Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, and the Lord below. That's what was written on the middle of the three-tiered crown. And if you take, because Latin, both the symbols and the numerals are the same, you take Vicarius Filii and try it yourself and count it, it's 666. It's 666, the total number. And that is what the popes carried for centuries on their head, and people didn't know. Okay, I'm not saying all the popes were wicked. So some popes who were nice, where you will see they suddenly die in 30 days. They were assassinated if they don't follow. One pope abdicated. He was forced to abdicate. The only time in Roman history, a pope was forced to abdicate. Another pope took over and then he also died, because there is so much going on inside which we have no idea. Okay, yet Catholics, there are many saved, but they have no clue what is happening in the church, and everything is like, you know, it's when the common languages, the mass started happening in common languages and the Bible started printing, that's when Catholics started reading their Bible. So it's ultimately, you need to realize its glory. That's why it's, you know, it has so many names. Blasphemy, the woman also has, the beast also has blasphemous names. The names given to the head of the Catholic Church is actually blasphemy. Those are names after Jesus. One thing, this Jesus foresees everything, and he said one thing: don't call anybody on earth father. Now he's not talking about in the home. He's talking about, he knows this will come, because that is what he's called. Papa means father, holy father. That's what he's called. He said, don't call anybody father. Okay. Okay. They're not shepherds. They're not shepherds who lays down the life for. Okay. So you know, I mean, there are many among the clergy also, innocent ones serve because they have no clue what's happening. But Nuremberg, because this is why we have to be very, very careful, because Babylon is built on glory, vain glory, it is called, outward glory, which is called with name and reputation, pomp, ceremony, outside, all outward, which is passing away. We are destined for glory, but God says, first not outside. If you look for outside glory in eternity, you will lose inward glory. He says, look for inward glory. That's the series we are looking at in the church. What is that God looks for in the bride? And everything we are looking for is inward. Inward. So outward doesn't really matter. So when you look at Jesus, outward doesn't matter at all. Either in his looks or in his dressing is very simple. But that's not what he has seen in Revelation. In Revelation, you will see him as inward and outward splendor. In the same way, the church, the bride of Christ, will look. We read in Hebrews, and walking on sheepskins and rags and persecuted and humiliated everywhere. Nobody gives two hoots about, even in a free society. Nobody cares about them. But in eternity, she will be a different picture, because she will be clothed in the glory of God. So Revelation 17 is the picture of where Babylon began and Babylon ends. And Babylon is going to be destroyed in 1 hour. First, the political system will turn against the religious system. That's why the base beast will turn against that. That always happens. You will see that for a season, the political powers will use, like you see, the last Christian nation left is in America. That's why both parties need Christian votes. So everybody will claim to be Christian. You cannot say, I'm not a Christian, because everybody has to be a Christian, otherwise you won't get the Christian vote. But you have been noticed in most of Europe, they don't care anymore. They don't care anymore, because they know the church has lost in influence. Elections in Britain, they don't care whether you're a Christian or not, because you don't need the Christian vote to win. In Germany, in France, nowhere do you need Christian votes to win anymore. So this beast has turned against the woman. They don't need anymore. Okay, anymore. And if you look at the history of Europe, any nation, Holland, Switzerland, everywhere, you will see the church and the state is always together. There's a state church. Okay, even in Holland, there's a state church. Switzerland, there's a state church, a church to which the state is aligned. And technically, if I'm right, in some of these countries, even the state has to give the tithes to the church until it was changed, because tithes has to go to the church. So the revenue of these churches were huge. Imagine, think for that. Let us say, okay, the budget for this country or small country is 1,000 crores. or 10,000 crores. So what does this church get? 1,000 crores. Good as your tithes. These were all part of the law for centuries. Okay. And that is why Jesus made it very, very clearly, you know. Let mammon be behind you. Money, we need money, we use money. But we will never serve money, we will never work for money. You get those things, if you don't get those things right, you will be destroyed by mammon, because mammon is a spirit. It's a spirit. And Jesus put these things across to us to be very, very, very clear about it and to say that, okay, be careful. Don't be guided by these spirits, because Babylon is built on this. So we look at it. It's I mean, you need to, if you like reading, which most of you don't, take Alexander Hislop's. It's a little difficult English because he wrote a long time back, but he's the one who did the most in-depth study on Mystery Babylon. And every preacher, Bible college who teaches this, go back and quote him. They look at his study. It's called Mystery Babylon. Alexander Hislop, his name, H-I-S-L-O-P. I have his PDF somewhere. I read it years and years back. Very powerful, so that we know the system. It's very subtle, very subtle, very subtle. Because pageantry takes over. That's why every Gentile festival, every God festival, the pageantry comes out. Okay. Pageantry comes out. And that's what they brought in. You know what pageantry is? All the flags and all the festival. Now, everywhere it has come. For a LKG graduation also the flags come out. Think about it. Why did we bring this pageantry in? Right? Have you seen an LKG graduation? All the festoons and everything comes, and the children are dressed in scarlet and black and purple and all this thing. We have brought it in, and it's seeping into our minds and our system. And Babylon will rise out of this, ultimately, a people who are steeped in idolatry. Steeped in idolatry. Okay, and God says, first thing, if you move from a child to a youth, who can overcome the devil, flee. Idols, flee idols, because Babylon is built on that. That same spirit lives in today, everywhere. It lives in today. And that's the greatest danger for all said and done. President Trump faces as a person the idolatry of the masses. Fear for him always, and always pray he will humble himself before God, because it's, no American leader in their ever history has been literally been hero worshipped the way he does. Hero worship he does. You have seen that football game that took place last week, Alabama versus Minnesota. When he entered over there, 100,000 people in that stadium, how they went. While they booed Tim Walz, they were going crazy over Trump. You have to pray it doesn't get into his head, or it doesn't matter who it is. God will disqualify those people. Because when his son walked on earth, he showed us worship belongs only to God. Doesn't matter. So even in subtle forms, never receive worship. Never belongs to God and to God alone. And these are always connected. Worship and service goes together. You cannot detach one. You will always end up serving what you worship. That's why in the world they will put this statement, work is worship. Work is not worship. Worship is work, but work is not worship. You have to work to worship. But worship, work is not worship. Work is not worship. We have to be very, very careful, because ultimately it is all about worship. And Babylonian system is about worship, and Jerusalem is also about worship. And we see in the book of Revelation, the 24 elders, all of them laying their crowns at the feet of the Lamb. He alone is worthy of praise, honor, worship. Keep that in your head. Amen. Amen. We will pray. We will pray. We will fight this good fight. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh yes, Jesus, Jesus, at the center of it all.
'cause nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Oh, yes, nothing will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, you showed us the way, Lord. Way to God, the way to the Father. You showed us the way. There's no other way, Lord. The way up is down. Help us, Lord, help us. This Babylonian world system tries to pull everyone into it, Lord. But ultimately everyone will be destroyed, oh God, who are part of that system.
Yes, Lord.
The cry of God for 2,000 years is, come out of her and do not share in her iniquities. Help us, Lord. Help us, help us, help us. Help us, Lord. As a church, as a people belonging to God, help us that your word and your spirit constantly sanctifies us, separates us further and further and further away from the system unto yourself, O Lord. For the outer man is truly perishing, but Lord, that's not the point. is the inward man being renewed in the likeness of God. Help us, Lord, help us. This morning we commit all your dear ones into thy hands, O Lord. Especially, Lord, commit Uncle Marshall, Sister Penny, Brother Lynn, commit the three of them, Lord, as they fight this good fight of faith. How long, when, we do not know, but Lord, it's a good fight. We cannot turn back. Because your word says, if anyone draws back from this walk, this fight of faith, your soul will not be pleased with them. So we have to stay the course. Doesn't matter how great the opposition is, how powerful they may seem. Yet, Lord, we are in this fight. And we make our proclamation that greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. And if God is for us, then who then can be against us? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of... Oh, the church will come through the fire. It will come.
Yes, it will.
It will come through the fire. Purer and stronger and closer to God than ever before, O Lord. Because like the three friends of Daniel, those who have consecrated, the fire has no power over them.
Lord,
just to burn the courts of man. The flesh, it has no other power. It has no other power than to burn flesh away, O Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Fire, Lord. Through the blood.
Oh, Jesus.
But all through the blood.
We'll come through. We'll come through. We will come through. We'll come through, Lord.
We'll come through. We'll come through, Jesus.
Go before us through this month. Take us in victory, in triumph in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Meet your people at every turn, every point in their life, Lord. Let them have favor with God and favor with man, Lord. Touch even the heart and hearts of Father, that they will show favor, Lord, towards your people, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Like the eunuchs had favor, Lord. Eunuchs were hardened people, Lord. They had no loyalty to anybody except the king. They had no ties to anybody, but Lord, when you touched their hearts, they showed favor, O Lord. Favor to Daniel, favor to Esther. The prison warden showed favor to Joseph, Lord. That's who you are. I pray for a month of favor, O Lord. Favor with God and favor with man for your people everywhere, Lord. Wherever they go, they will experience supernatural, divine favor, O God. Thank you,
Lord.
Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord. We just want to thank you for bringing us through
nine months. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. We believe.
Thank you, Lord.
We believe. Once again, we stand here and we bless your holy name.
We bless your holy name, and we declare,
Father, doesn't matter how it looks outside, the truth is, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.